You're listening to the
number one radio.
Trim Radio Network.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to the Brighter Life Show. We are just happy to be here on Trim Radio Network. We want to thank the producers and the owners of Trim Radio Network for offering us this opportunity to actually have a show here. So today we have some interesting subjects. Are you interested, Nick, in some interesting subjects?
Yeah, I'm excited for what we got today.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with Mr. Nicholas Brighter. Nicholas Brighter is your vibration expert. He also is a conflict resolution specialist, as well as a professional photographer, which I adore that. I think that's great. So how is the photography going?
Oh, photography's going well. I have, you know, I know I have some varied interests, but it seems to be paying off.
Well, yay. Yay, mm-hmm. So you have some good clients, some good paying clients. You know, it's fun when something starts out as a hobby, and then all of a sudden somebody pays you for your hobby, and you still love it. So how do you even...
I would say that photography kind of started like that for me.
So. Well, I like it because it's part of the arts. Mm-hmm. And also, it sort of is in line. I mean, maybe not really close, but with everything else that you're interested. You know, things that, you know, with marketing, with owning that Brighter Institute and the schools that, you know, you're starting. And so I think that that's actually pretty fascinating. And just to let everyone know, my company, which is A Brighter Life, is part of the Brighter Institute. It is a division of the Brighter Institute. And so I really appreciate that Nick has incorporated my company and my business with the Brighter Institute.
But, you know, that's a little, what you said was a viewpoint that I didn't necessarily share myself for a long time until it was really obvious to me how certain things kind of fit together. So,
well, you have to find, you know, organizations and collaborate with people that, you know, resonate with how your envision of the Brighter Institute. And there's going to be some companies that may want to work with you, but they don't really fit in. You know, and how do you even turn them down? Do you just...
Oh, I was referring more to just different things that I've done over my life. And when you're younger and there's only a few things that you've done and they seem to be not related to each other, it might seem like you're just kind of wasting your time. But eventually you might get to a point where the dots are connected and you have more options with what you can do.
True. So don't limit yourself, I guess, is the moral of that story.
Yeah, I guess what I'm getting at is if you're young and it seems like you can't get your direction because you keep doing things that are not related, you know, don't worry so much. Don't not do something simply because you're starting from zero, I guess. You know, learn new things.
I like it. In fact, that's what the Brighter Institute is about. It's actually a learning center, as well as an organization that works with companies like my company and other companies that can join the collective, companies that you believe in. So,
and Brighter Institute has some, there's a little bit of variety in the things that we offer, but they all, in their own way, they kind of fit together. So, I mean, in general, things that are going to improve people's lives in different ways, spiritually to more practical ways.
Well, we need both, because at the end of the day, we are spiritual human beings.
And health also.
Well, yeah, exactly. We have to be in good health to enjoy all of our ambitions and to enjoy any achievements.
So I know I kept interrupting you. So
that is perfectly fine. So today's main subject is we're going to be talking about narcissism.
Okay.
Now, just a little bit of history. I don't know a whole lot about it, but it the word narcissism or narcissist.
Now, I've always felt that maybe narcissists is kind of some hooey-hooey stuff for psychologists to label people.
No! It is actually defined as a disorder. It's narcissism is a personality disorder. So, and it's very, very specific. And interestingly enough,
it's something that can be clearly defined.
It can be clearly defined. Not always. You have to be with a professional.
And does when a narcissist is identified, is that something that medically is important for the narcissist to receive treatment, or is there no treatment?
That is a great question. Ideally, yes. But the answer is it's very rare, because somebody, after we go through exactly the traits of a narcissist, it's very unlikely that they're going to go see a therapist or a counselor and say, hey, I'm a narcissist and, you know, these are all my problems, because they don't admit that they have any problems.
And
so
would it be a benefit to the narcissist to seek treatment?
It would be a benefit, however, the problem lies with what narcissist is going to even admit that they need any kind of treatment, especially when they think that they are perfect and there's nothing wrong with them. They're not going to say, well, hey, I'm perfect. I'm going to go to a therapist and say, hey, look at me. I'm perfect and wonderful. That's unlikely. But just to get back to what I was trying to say is Narcissus was a man from ancient Greek, and this is a Greek myth about this man, Narcissus. And maybe many people may have heard this story, but he is the guy who actually was, thought himself as a special person, but he became enamored with his reflection in a river. Mm-hmm. And he fell in love with himself. And his obsession just grew and grew and grew. And so that is actually where the word narcissist or narcissism is founded. It's founded from this.
I think there's on the Wikipedia page of that, I know there's an interesting painting that was done on that where a person, it's a painting of someone looking at their reflection on the floor.
Right, and then they fall in love. So narcissists, I guess you could say, are in love with themselves, or they're in love with their own reflection. Now, something else that I find really interesting is 5% of the population has been categorized, at least by therapists and counselors, as having narcissistic traits. Now, there is a spectrum, because all of us have a little bit of narcissistic traits. In other words, I may be proud of my achievements. You may be proud of something that you did. It would be very mild. You might have a narcissistic trait that is very short-lived. You might be overconfident at one time. That does not mean that you are a narcissist. So
is that in certain situations or at a certain time in your life?
It could be both. It could be it's mostly situational. Mm-hmm. It could be a certain phase in your life that you believe in business that you need to show that you're confident, and you don't know exactly how to do that, so it appears that you are a narcissist. But there's, the spectrum goes from very, very, very mild, mm-hmm. all the way to a full-blown narcissist that is diagnosed with a personality disorder. And these are the ones that are difficult to get into a psychologist's or a psychiatrist's office, because they would be the last people that would confess or even recognize that they have narcissistic tendencies, or they're just a full-blown narcissist.
And in what way would seeing a psychologist benefit them?
The odds of a psychologist helping somebody mm-hmm. that has a narcissistic personality disorder is very rare.
Well, I'm
it's very slim.
Look at it like, let's say this is a business person and they can be convinced that maybe they have some narcissist tendencies, and maybe talking to a psychologist could benefit how effective they are in business by 5-10%. then
they don't think there's anything wrong with them. Okay, that's a nice story, but that's a nice theory.
I'm not approaching it from the point of view of something being wrong with them. I'm approaching it from a point of view of improving how much money they can make.
Then they would not go to a psychologist or some sort of career
but
coach.
That would be if that was an outcome. What are the outcomes if they see a psychologist?
Very slim. About maybe even less than 5% actually recognize or make any changes. They cannot help themselves.
How do those changes affect their life is, I guess, the question I'm trying to
If they're able
out.
To change, they have to consciously decide, okay,
I'm... Is it a benefit for them to change?
Absolutely. Of course it's a benefit, because at the end of the day, narcissists are only fun for a while.
Then
they can make your life very difficult.
So something that I've noticed is with narcissists is that they're definitely destructive to other people. But what exactly are the things that are destructive to themselves? Because if they are limited, then it's really other people thinking that they have a problem. But if they might not actually have a problem for themselves.
Well,
so that person actually shouldn't seek treatment from the point of view of don't fix what's not broken. But I believe they probably do have things that are harmful to themselves. It's not clear to me what that is, though.
It's very clear to me because they lose friends.
They lose connections. Yeah.
They lose important connections. They have a lot of issues that they are unable to overcome. They lose jobs, not right away, because they're oh so charming and they're also.
I have seen the lost friends and trust. Yep. Let's say.
Well, I just want to talk about just some basic.
So losing
traits.
Friends is a common one.
They will lose friends, but oftentimes they will say that they disown that friend. It was their choice because their friend betrayed them.
There's nothing wrong with the narcissist. In some degree, it's always mutual.
It's never mutual with a narcissist.
Okay.
They exhibit
traits.
Their main one singular message is that I come first, and they will manipulate those around them, and they start out being just the most charming, fun, and exciting people. Now, the way that a person can identify a narcissist, especially psychologists, they characterize narcissism by the grandiose sense of self-importance. And they also have a lack of caring or empathy for anyone else around them.
I'm assuming the grandiose self-importance is beyond what would be reasonable. Because if it is actually an important person.
Well, if it is an important person, that's wonderful. But they actually speak about it themselves. They behave in a grandiose way. They don't. So it's not like somebody who is important and other people may speak about them, or they're speaking about something that may help you, and that's wonderful. But they have, they're megalomaniacs. They believe that they are exceptionally important, and typically they're not. They're not that important. They do require endless.
Now, I actually, that part is
admiration.
Something that I'm surprised about, because I believe something I heard was that a lot of narcissists, because of their need to feel important, often drives them to commonly very successful people will have some narcissistic traits, and so I would imagine someone that is a narcissist would at least be successful in some way, and so I would imagine that many narcissists would be actually not unimportant.
Well, Nick, that is indeed true. Many of them will get a degree. They'll go through the steps. They might get a good job.
So
they are difficult to work with, because even though if they have a degree in communication, that degree will somehow be, well, I have a degree in psychology. Well, I have a degree in anything. They will list, just because they have a degree, it just expands into whatever they are doing at the moment. I have a degree in this and that and the other thing. Now you go back and you check them out, and yes, they did accomplish a degree. I'm not saying that they're not accomplished people.
So is this more along the lines of some of them are really successful, and among successful people you see some similar traits, but not necessarily all of them or even most of them are successful?
Many of them are not.
Oh, okay.
Because they have no problem on lying.
Those are the ones that we don't notice, though.
Oh, yeah. They're very noticeable.
They are very.
Because
okay.
If you know somebody that is a narcissist, I'll give you an example.
How common is this exactly? Like 1 out of 100 people? More men, okay.
Less females, and it's about 5% altogether of the human population are narcissists.
It's a very large number.
Yeah. So, but it's interesting that it's more men. I don't know the actual breakdown of percentage. It just typically.
I do know that women are higher in agreeableness, and that by itself would lower any narcissistic traits that they do have.
Oh, they have their own issues, you know. We'll go over that.
Okay.
You know, in just a little bit. But they really feel that they are special, that they are smarter than anybody in the room. A narcissist is the smartest, and they believe that. They have to believe that. And you would think that you could spot a narcissist a mile away because of some of the traits that I'm going to go through.
Okay.
You really think that you could, but it's not necessarily that easy, because they don't start off being your friend by being a narcissist, you know, or having narcissistic traits. What they do is they will love bomb you. They will tell you, Nick, how fabulous you are, how wonderful you look, how just people just adore you. They will tell you that they adore you. They call it love bombing.
Okay.
They will love bomb you and that you are their best friend.
And I know a dichotomy between hot and cold, especially emotionally, can be very, it can be alluring for people.
Who doesn't want somebody telling you how wonderful you are?
It's going to make someone feel good. And then when the opposite of that's happening, it's going to make them want to measure, you know, fit that person's expectation or standard so that they can then receive that love bombing again.
Right. Who doesn't like to be love bombed?
Or the idea of hot and cold.
But then they end up using that against you because they will stop love bombing you when you're not behaving the way they need you to behave, which is essentially giving them praise, listening
to... That's getting a little close to, you know, punishing bad behavior and rewarding good behavior. Where's the line? Where's the narcissist line?
Well, first of all, the line is they don't love you at all.
Because if a person doesn't have a line for that at all,
there are no lines. In fact, interesting that you asked that.
Oh, it's independent of their behavior. So
yes.
Even if a person does have good behavior, whether they are love bombing them or not, independent of whether the person has good or bad behavior. Is that what you're saying?
I'm so sorry. I'm unclear what you're saying. They love bomb because they want something from you. They want admiration. They want to hook you in. It's to get you.
But I guess what I'm trying to find out is what is the... That seems like... It seems normal for someone to... If another person's behaving badly towards them, to treat them as if... To punish bad behavior and reward good behavior. So what is the point where that becomes narcissistic?
Because they will punish you when it's not deserved. They will punish you when you are not giving them the admiration, the accolades that they believe they deserve.
Okay.
They will love bomb you because what they really want is for you to admire them. They will be the life.
This is a psychology. I'm sorry. I apologize. I forget this is a psychology term. And very often psychology terms involve what psychologists deem as reasonable. So this must be a situation of to an unreasonable degree. By a psychologist's definition.
Exactly. Like I could love someone, love bomb someone because I actually feel that I love them.
Mm-hmm.
They never feel that. They love bomb you just to get you to like them, to be under their wing, to be under their guidance so that then they can start, you know, the process. Why do people like narcissists? Now, this is a really interesting question that I actually had to ask myself. Because they are often the life of the party. They are somebody that you want to be around.
I can definitely...
They can quote Shakespeare out of the blue. They can, you know, impress people with their vast knowledge, which actually isn't vast.
They're very good social people.
Yes, and they're charismatic. They're energetic.
That's probably the only narcissists I've ever identified have all been very socially adept people, I've noticed.
Yeah, interesting.
I wasn't aware that they... So are all narcissists like that?
I would say the majority. Narcissists, they do have an expectation from you. And that expectation is that after they've love bombed you and you all of a sudden are you, this is really important. They will tell you that there is a special connection. You know what? I've had many friends, but you are different. You are special to me, the narcissist. We have this connection, this soulmate connection. You're my flame. I mean, we're just, it's something that I haven't felt with anyone else. Who wouldn't think that that was wonderful? And then you start thinking, well, gee, maybe I feel that connection too. I mean, I guess we do have a lot of things that are similar. And anything that you say, they agree
this
with.
This sounds like something that is meant to be not true.
Well, no, it's not true at all. They don't have a special connection with you. I guess they don't have a special connection. They're just saying that. They have 20 other people that they have a special, you know, intimate connection that is only solely to that person.
Hmm.
And when they're done with you, They'll find another person within a week or two that they have a special connection. How amazing that we met on this day. How amazing that we both love mashed potatoes. How amazing that we grew up very similarly. How amazing. They will come up with all these connections of why you are, you know, special to them, but you're not special to them. You're just a pawn. All they want is admiration, and they expect you to treat them as they are special. That is their ultimate goal. Their ultimate goal is for you to recognize how extraordinary they are. So when they look in the mirror, when a narcissist looks in the mirror at themselves, they see someone special. They see the world's smartest, handsomest, most beautiful, and most influential person. And why would they pick you to be friends with? It's not just solely so that you can admire them. It's so that they can have a connection. There's something more than just you being you. You may know some people that they may want to know. You may be somebody that they can brag about. I know so-and-so. It just goes on and on. They don't just pick anybody. They will target you. Even in a personal relationship, even in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, and even in a marriage, you know, they will pick you and then...
The more I hear about this, it seems like extremely common behavior.
It does, but the narcissist, they really don't have any remorse.
And I guess I have to keep remembering that this is what psychologists would consider to an unreasonable degree.
Yes, I'm talking about the spectrum. Now, when you say just regular, everyone has some narcissistic traits mm-hmm. on the outer edge of the spectrum. You know, then it goes into mild, and then it goes into...
To an extreme degree, and that the narcissist themselves will typically not feel that connection.
It's when you're not useful. When you are not useful to the narcissist, they would just cut you out as if they never knew you at all.
And again...
If you have no use for them... You are a pawn in their seeking admiration.
Okay.
And not only that, they will say things behind your back. Once they dumped you, everything you've ever told a narcissist, you might consider it like, I can share this intimate detail. I can share this thing I did that I stole some candy when I was 5 years old. Or, mm-hmm. you know, I've always felt guilty. Or you can share things with the narcissist. You're thinking that they're listening to you. You're thinking that they're understanding. A narcissist sees it as ammunition. That's all it is to a narcissist, because they will put that in their little file.
You're not really getting closer. One person thinks they're getting closer with someone, but the other person is trying to find out information.
Right. Yeah.
And I would imagine they're probably aware, since they would have to make it convincing to make the other person feel like they're getting closer to them.
Oh, they're experts at manipulating. I mean, that is what they do. They manipulate and they manipulate and they manipulate. Now, when you are actually, let's say, a narcissist...
I think the talking behind the back is, I think, an important
That's when they're done with you. Because people... That's only when they're done with you. They don't usually do it too much... You know, when pre-done with you, mm-hmm. they start little like saying things to other people to get them, because they're about to turn you out. They're about to ignore you. So they want everyone else in your circle of friends to feel the same way, because they're the star of the show. So, and they have a incredible, dangerously willingness to use people. You know, and they rank people. They use people. They rank them as far as how they can use them.
And now, what are the destructive behaviors? How are they harmful to other people?
Because they ultimately are just using you. Because they really are playing on your emotions and your feelings. Because they are using anything that you say as ammunition to hurt you in the future. Because when they are done, then they go into revenge mode. It may not last that long, but they will go into revenge mode. And that revenge mode is to talk to anybody about you so that people will like them and not like the person that they have decided is.
And can that include, because so far what I'm hearing is the damage is someone emotionally doesn't like that they would be rejected by their friend.
Well, because a narcissist is so charming.
But if a person,
people believe,
are they slandering? I guess.
Absolutely.
Because that's a little
defamation
different.
Defamation and slandering.
Defamation.
They have no. They will lie. A narcissist will make up the craziest stories about you, mm-hmm. and they will also make up the wildest, most embellished, exaggerated stories about themselves. Now, personally, I had a couple narcissistic friends. I found them charming for my life. It was just remarkable. I was just so curious about that kind of personality, and I loved to listen to their stories. Mm-hmm. And yes, I played a little bit of a dangerous game because I played
that.
Into their stories. Mm-hmm. Because you just never know what's going to come out of their mouth. I had a friend.
Very often they're good storytellers.
Oh, excellent storytellers, but some of them get so fantastical that you just think, oh boy, this is just so much fun listening to this baloney. But then you don't want to really introduce them to any of your friends because your friends are going to go, that person is, you know, kind of weird. A narcissist will tell you a story like you could go to a racetrack and they will say, with absolute, complete conviction, as though it truly happened, I used to be a professional race car driver. Well, wow. I mean, that is pretty darn spectacular. You are a race car driver? Yeah.
Because they have to one-up not just the people they're there with, but everyone there.
Right.
And there's racers there.
Right, exactly.
Because you're tracking.
I was a race car driver, and you know, I'm best friends. See that guy, you know? We go way back. You know, we're buddies.
Does he know that guy?
No.
No. Okay.
No, not necessarily. Now, they don't think that you're going to check in on them. They go say, oh, he is, you know, really good friends with this famous race car driver. And so you most people would believe him. I found it fascinating because I already had determined that this one particular friend was had narcissistic personality disorder. And so I was just, it sort of memorized, but I did have to protect myself.
Did you mean mesmerized or memorized?
What did I say?
I thought you said memorized.
I was mesmerized.
Okay.
I am so sorry. Yes. Because I never knew what new story would come out.
Were they blatantly not true to you?
Yes.
Okay. So what was mesmerizing then that this person was willing to say something that was so blatantly not true for people that are aware, mm-hmm. and paying attention, yet willing to say it as if it was true.
That's
in
right.
In front of a bunch of people.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Everyone still likes them, apparently.
Some people are like, oh, you know, that's just weird. Other people are like,
I guess what I'm getting at is
that true.
They're typically socially adept people, so how can they say things that, for someone that's particularly aware, that is not true in front of a group of people and still be socially adept?
Because the people that they're saying it in front of...
I guess for me, that's what I'm...
Okay, the people
is
that...
was interesting. That's what I'm kind of asking.
The people that they're saying it mm-hmm. in front of, they don't really give two straws about those people. So they'll just say it. It's really their audience is the ones that they want to admire them. The other people, if they believe it, great. If they don't, you know what, they're losers. They hate them anyway because they're the wonderful person.
Because they want admiration.
At that moment in time.
Okay.
Now, something really interesting about a narcissist, which is different than like a sociopath or a psychopath, especially a psychopath, because they actually will think things through. A narcissist doesn't think things through. They want the instant satisfaction.
Mm.
Even though 2 weeks later, someone could go online and look up what they said, find out that it wasn't true.
Okay.
That doesn't matter to the narcissist. It's for that instant satisfaction at that moment. And they will deal with, if they're called on it,
mm-hmm.
if they're called out, they will deal with that at a later time, typically by another area that we're going to venture into.
Okay. What you just mentioned explains something that I didn't know. Why is it that the people that we're talking about will often say things that are blatantly not true?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know the answer to that, and I guess you just answered that, which is their desire for instant gratification is significant enough to take that risk a lot more.
That's right. That's right.
So then would be normal.
And if you do ask them questions, let's say you don't officially call them out. You say, well, you know, when this happened, what was the name of the company that you, you know, who were your sponsors when you were this famous race car driver? Oh, I don't remember.
Mm.
So if you were only 16, did you become a pro at 16? Were you an amateur before?
Did you start driving at 16? Yeah,
I mean, because you can be an amateur basically under 16, but you start with, you know, go-karts and different types of things. So, I just was always a good driver, and I just got hooked up with some famous people, and I just happened to be really good at it, and then I all of a sudden got on a track, did you have a unit? Did you win races? Can I look you up? Well, you know, that was so long ago that it's, you know, it's in some magazines. I'd have to find it for you. So if I typed in your name, it won't say race car driver, you know, in his youth. Or it's not on your resume. Well, no, because, you know, I only did that for a few years out of my life. And so I'm just saying that.
Then I found baseball and became a professional baseball player.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. So, but they exaggerate things that are just the funniest thing, even littlest things. For example, I was with somebody who is a narcissist friend of mine, and we were greeted.
Obviously, someone that you knew many years ago.
Yeah, many years ago, and we were greeted at a restaurant. No big deal, and they were busy, and we didn't get our seat right away. Well, this narcissist, do you know who I am? Actually said that, and the person's like, well, I'm somebody, you know, I'm important. Well, okay, you know, let's get you your table. And you know, they try to, you know, accommodate this person because they probably thought the person was difficult, but you know, I'm somebody special. The story evolved when it was told a couple of days later to some other friends. We walked into this restaurant and they looked me straight in the eye and said, F you, mother effer. And it's like, okay, that didn't actually happen.
This was, you were at a restaurant with this friend
yes.
of yours, and they didn't immediately recognize him.
Right. Well, he wasn't, nobody would recognize him. He's nobody. I mean, he's just.
Because he's just a typical customer.
Right.
Right, and they see a million people a day.
Right.
And that story, so it evolved from them not knowing who he was beforehand to saying F you when he walked in.
Right, because that was his interpretation, because they didn't treat him the way he should have been treated, because he is somebody special. So even though they didn't actually say the words F you, mother, okay, sorry, that's what this person said. But I was there. I was like, okay, they couldn't have been nicer to accommodate, you know, this person. But they were dealing with a narcissist and their facade of being somebody incredibly, incredibly, you know, famous. I had another friend who told me, this is also years ago, that he dated a famous movie star. Famous movie star. Now, that's something you can look up. You know, so you look up and you see if they dated this famous movie star, and of course they didn't. Well, yes, I did. I was sent a photograph of the movie star with this person. Clearly, it was one of those situations where, you know, the movie star is out in the street. It's like, hey, can I take a picture with you? You know,
he's just a fan passing by.
Right, exactly. And so there was no dating. Mm-hmm. There was no, she is just the sweetest person. Just a doll. And it's like, well, first of all, you don't even know them, and they don't know you.
And you mentioned something about women narcissists being a little different than men.
Okay,
is unique in that regard?
Now, the traits of a female is it's a little bit different. She does believe that she deserves special treatment over others. And she enjoys putting people on the spot that she believes crosses the line. So her whole attitude is a little bit different. And she does take a female pleasure in your pain. So because she suffers
that's sadistic.
So because she may suffer low self-esteem, it makes her feel better to put somebody down.
Now, is that something that a woman would do to her?
It could be a girlfriend,
or
absolutely.
Husband?
With the boyfriend, they do the love bombing, everything's wonderful, then they may hold back some romance. Now, both male and female, they talk about themselves incessantly. They can't help it. They will one-up you. Let's say I said, I went to the zoo yesterday. Well, you know, I used to own a zoo. Oh, okay. You know, I own lots of zoos, and I was in the zoo business. And it's like, okay. Now, let's go back to the female. A female is more likely to play the victim card than a male. Males typically don't like that position of being a victim. But she will talk about her struggles in life and how painful things were and, difficult.
Okay. So a male narcissist, it will be how successful they are and how much admiration they deserve, whereas for a woman, it's going to be how much pity or how much sympathy deserve.
Yeah. Once they've played the victim card and they've been successful, then they're a victim, and then they can manipulate people and say that, you know, they need this, that, or the other thing. And, you know, they look at themselves as more of a martyr. They blame. Now, this is not just a female, but typically a little bit more leaning to the female. They blame everyone for their mistakes. In fact, in general, most narcissists have never made a mistake ever. If their business goes under, it was because they were ripped off. They had an employee that lied about them.
Their business partner made some decision that they definitely didn't want.
That's right.
But for some reason, they were unable to stop them. from.
Right. You know. Yeah. But and both of them, in particular, a female, they really have absolutely no regard for your feelings. Really. Now, they can say the words that they do, but in reality, they don't. They don't have empathy. And that is a distinctive hallmark of all narcissistic people. Now, they know how to pretend to have empathy because they observe other people. So, now, a female is more likely to swing between idolizing their partner or their friend, they just love them, the love bombing, and they want you to feel that, you're dependent on them because they're the ones that are pretty wonderful. And then they start to devalue you very, very slowly. And so, in other words, by doing that, it throws off your emotion. Now, I'm going to jump because I have too much to talk about in regards to this. But lastly, both male and females, they believe that everybody is jealous of them. Everybody. Oh, we didn't get along because he was jealous of me. A guy in business. Oh, yeah, I didn't get the promotion because my boss was jealous of me. Jealous of my life. Oh, she envies me. A woman might say, she just envies me. She's just so jealous of me that... because, I have such a great life and she doesn't. So, let me see. We're kind of running out a little bit of time because there are some ways. I just want to briefly talk about gaslighting. That is a tactic that narcissists will take. And gaslighting actually comes from this old movie, the term gaslighting. Have you heard of gaslighting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I've heard the term.
Okay. So, gaslighting, it comes from this old movie called Gaslight, and it starred...
although I thought it was kind of a new term.
It is a newer term. The movie Gaslight came out in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And so it's about this woman who marries this guy who basically changes her reality. So mm-hmm. you could say something's pink, and you see it, it's pink, and they will tell you, no, in reality... that is chartreuse. Mm-hmm. And it's not chartreuse at all.
And in the movie, is he messing with her?
Oh, yes. Oh, totally. He's trying to drive her crazy in that particular movie. But that's where the term gaslighting came from. And just to let you know, gaslighting is abuse. It's emotionally, it's psychologically beating somebody down, and gaslighters, they actually have victims. Sometimes these victims are uncertain of their own reality for years. Now, there's something...
I would argue that everyone's perception of reality is wrong, and the sooner you can identify that... So...
Well, a gaslighter would tell you, you are absolutely wrong.
Wrong. He's right.
Okay, well...
He's right because everyone's wrong about their realities.
Okay, well, that's a whole nother subject that we will get into next week. How about that?
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to identify where is the line where it's problematic, I guess.
Let's say...
So I guess most people don't know that most people believe that their interpretation of reality is exactly true, and so it can be emotionally stressful for them to learn otherwise.
And draining.
Okay, so I can understand that.
I'm a normal person, let's say, and my mm-hmm. boyfriend is a narcissist, and he's gaslighting me, and I said, you said that we were going to go on a trip on this date, and I booked everything, and that... the gaslighter, the narcissist, will say, I absolutely did not say that, and I have no idea what you're talking about. You are lying.
And does the gaslighter know that that did happen?
They believe it, but they start questioning it. Like, okay, because the narcissist is so good at what
do. Is the narcissist aware of what the truth is?
Oh, yes!
Okay.
They don't care. They're gaslighting just to mess the person up. They don't care. Or they'll gaslight and say, I never did that. Like, you know, you borrowed $200 from me and said that you'd pay me back on Friday. I never borrowed any money from you. What are you talking about? That didn't happen. Well, here's my checkbook. Oh, well, you gave that to me. I mean, they just completely change, you know, what you in order to make you feel crazy. Okay. It does make you feel crazy. And we even gaslight innocently. We start with our children. Little tiny kids may, let's say they stub their toe and their toe's bleeding. It's the first time. You know, they're 3 years old. They've never seen blood in their toe. And a parent innocently, this is not a narcissist, may say, oh, honey, it's okay. You just stubbed your toe. It doesn't really hurt. I'll just kiss it. Okay. That's the very first time a little child would be gaslit, because their reality is their toe hurts and mm-hmm. it's bleeding. So, but we do that because we want to toughen up our kids and we think that it's really in their best interest. We're not doing it because we're a narcissist and we want them to, you know, go crazy. So that's a little bit of innocent, I should say, gaslighting. We start gaslighting, you know, we get gaslight when we're a little kid. But narcissists, they use it for emotional, psychological beating so that they can have their victims scared and uncertain of what they heard, of what their okay. own reality is.
To make them uncertain.
Yes, that okay. is it. Because then it's like they always have to rely, you know, on the person. Someone that's gaslighting will say things. I'm just going to.
Because obviously the gaslighter knows. So they're a reliable source of information now, and they aren't because they're uncertain.
It is intentional, if that's what you're asking. They don't gaslight by accident, like a parent, like the parent example. So gaslighters will say things when you question them. They'll say, oh, I was joking. Okay. You know, you're the only person that I have a problem with, because everyone else I don't have a problem with. You know, stop taking everything so seriously. Or, you know what? The reason I criticize you is because I like you. That's like, okay, if someone said that to me, I might think, okay, yeah, that's, you know. They may be arguing or debating with you, and they might say, a gaslighter, I'm not arguing. Like, I'm not arguing at all. I'm just having a discussion. You're the one that's too sensitive and all, you know, bent out of shape over this. So it's really kind of fascinating. But there are some ways. We have a few minutes late where you, once you've established that you have a narcissist, you know, in your life, and you want to get out of this relationship, psychologists will say it's called graystone. Number one, you can graystone them, meaning you just get them out of your life.
Graystone, I wonder where that term came from.
I don't know. But it's a stone. It's just a stone. It doesn't move, and it's gray. It doesn't have an opinion. It doesn't have it's just there. It's just nothing. It's like doing basically nothing.
You don't interact with them anymore?
Exactly. Okay. Now, that would be the number one, but that's difficult. That may be an employee. It may be somebody that you're actually a colleague. You know, you may be working on a project together. But it's always important to remember your own truth. And you can do that by journaling, because you still have to interact with this person. They may be a family member. But do not sacrifice your free time, your personal space, your money especially, and definitely do not sacrifice your happiness.
So that would be have proper boundaries. Have good boundaries in regards to dealing with them.
Absolutely. So set that is
anything that isn't necessary.
Yes, and setting back. And it's hard to do at first, because we almost have to baby step this, getting this person. Now, do not argue with them on their terms, because they're very good at arguing. And then also, don't retaliate. Sometimes you get the feeling like, oh, you know, they're out of my life. I'm done with them. But don't retaliate, because they are not worth it. And your well-being is more important than any minor satisfaction you may have at getting, you know, some retaliation against this person. Also, prioritize your safety. If you ever feel that you are in danger, let's say you're living with a narcissist, pack your stuff, leave, open the door, and go out. And now the gaslighter will try to, you know, get in touch with you. They'll keep calling you. They go through different phases, because for whatever reason, they're not ready to let you go. They are enjoying, you know, the abusing you. And so that's something that you just need to leave. It's not always easy to do.
Well,
you can see a therapist yourself mm-hmm. when you're dealing. A therapist can help you through these steps. I'm gonna step back. That you need to leave mentally. You need to, before you start this, you need to leave mentally. And by leaving mentally, I mean you need to visualize and close your eyes and imagine yourself in 2 years. Do you want to be with that, you know, have a relationship or a friendship with that narcissist? And the answer is going to be no. You know, you may ask yourself, are you happy? And if you're not happy, then you need to get out of that relationship. You know, you need to visualize yourself
being happy without the narcissist. Specify if that unhappiness is coming from that person or yourself.
Well, I'm talking about after you've already established this. You've already you know that this person is not healthy. It's not
because
good for your well-being.
There are people that are going to be unhappy by themselves and with someone else.
Okay, I have just a minute left. I have to tell you a gaslighting story that I mm-hmm. just think is so funny.
Okay.
So I have a friend. I've been friends with her for years. And she is a narcissist. I mean, she's the kind of person that will say, she'll have one contractor go to her house. She goes, you know, I could build a house from foundation up. And I'm just like, yay, you know, that's cool. I could do this. You know, I'm the best real estate agent in the world. But you've never sold a house. That's because other people would steal the houses that I got. I mean, just there was always some excuse. It was always somebody else's fault. But she called me recently, about a month ago, and said, I want to buy your car. And I said, well, that's nice, but my vehicle's not for sale. Well, I really need to buy your car. I said, well, it's not for sale because it's my car, and that's I need to drive. Well, I've been so busy. I'm so much busier than you. And if you just sold me your car, because I know that you keep such good care of your car, then I will, I can get a lot more done. And I said, well, that's lovely, but I don't have a car for sale. And the last word was from her was, I need to know in about, 4 hours or maybe by tomorrow morning, you know, what you want to sell your car for. You know, what price. And
so
I said,
she was just not understanding that the car wasn't
for sale. No, she understood.
Sale.
It didn't matter. She was trying to manipulate me. And I said, well, that's fine and dandy, but it's very unlikely that tomorrow morning I'd like to be carless. So we can just stop this conversation. So I learned to just talk calmly, set boundaries. I wasn't upset. I just spoke in an even tone. And that's my last, my last story with a narcissist.
She felt extremely important, so she might not have been able to figure that you wouldn't eventually sell her your car, since she was so important.
My car wasn't for sale. But anyway, this is the end of today, and I want to thank everyone for listening to us. If you would like to get in contact with us, you can write to the show, or you can contact me directly at thebrighterlife@mail.com. This is Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with Nick Ryder from the Brighter Institute. Okay.
Have a good day.
Good night, everybody.